No, 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 no. Hey, y'all. I have a tendency of eating, standing up, and eating fairly quickly. And Heidi always tells me, sit down and enjoy your food, savor it. These are one of the moments that I just want to stop and I savor. For those who don't know me, what's up? My name is Richard. I used to pastor here, and now they're looking for a much uglier guy to kind of come up here. But family, I miss you. Look, let me stop getting all sappy and stuff. We got a good handful of content to go through this morning, so I'm just going to give you a brief update what's going on in the Marks family. Maggie is growing like a weed. She is in the first grade. We got a picture of her real quick. She is in the first grade. She went from a Hollister Tiger. She's a Camdenton Laker. It was tough for me to fall in love with that school, but I'm liking it. But Maggie, she is definitely a chip off the old block. Little social butterfly, never met a stranger. And she's super glad to be here. And then you got Violet. You got a picture of Violet up here. That's Violet in preschool. She is kicking butt and taking names. I am praying that she won't grow up to be a class bully. But that girl is doing well, and she's becoming more and more social. And she's loving preschool. And then there is Penelope. Last time y'all saw her, she was this cute little fluffy head, Will Ferrell hair type girl, and she was nice and sweet. That ain't Violet no more. I mean, that ain't Penelope. That ain't Penelope, not in the least. That girl, for one, she grew up like crazy, and she grew an attitude, and me and her fight all the time. This is a recent picture of Penelope, real quick. That's Penelope right there. I have to borrow that, and I'm saying as soon as I finish arguing with her. But for those who are like, oh my goodness, whose daughter is it? That's not really my daughter. It's a picture I found on Google. But here's a picture of all the girls. Yeah, they are doing well. Heidi and I, we found a great church, but it's a church nothing like New Beginnings Fellowship, and we're diving in our community. But I tell you what, there's no community like the community that we have here. I was driving here, and seriously, y'all, when I'm pulling into town, my heart started beating fast, and I wanted to stop everywhere and go really slow. Man, I miss y'all. There's no community like this, and I tell y'all, it's good to be back with my family. Dearly miss y'all. Right? If you have your Bibles, y'all, and look, by the way, in case y'all forgot, I'm still crazy, and whether y'all get excited or not, I'm going to do it. And the cool thing is, I'm not the pastor here, and so I can't get in trouble for going over. So, Rachel, you know, you're just going to have to deal with it because I'm going to do me, all right? Yeah. And so just tell your leaders just to hold on and be about an hour late because we're about to have fun today, all right? All right, y'all, if you got your Bibles, y'all, if y'all can do me a favor, turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you didn't bring your Bibles or your cell phones, you're a bunch of heathens, and we're going to have it right here on the screen. So let's go ahead and get started, men and women. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35. On that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was. And the other boats were with him. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a cushion. And they awoke him, and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear, and they said to one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Let's pray. Father, can't do this without you. Thank you, God, so much that we can gather here together as a family, as a community, to dive in your word, Father. My prayer will always be the same for my family here at MBF. I pray, God, that you will soften up our hearts so we can hear the gospel, understand the gospel, apply the gospel, and reteach the gospel. We cannot do this without you. I pray you will give us the discipline to say we will not do this without you. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, all the saints said, amen. Amen. Check this out, y'all. Whenever I was little, I was deathly afraid of storms. Deathly afraid of them. I freak out whenever I would hear the strong gusts of wind or the loud claps of thunder. And often, I would go crawl into my grandparents' bed, and I was almost immediately comforted whenever I got to nuzzle up against my hero, my Superman, Pawpaw, my grandpa. This is why I was comforted with him. It didn't matter how loudly the thunder clapped. It didn't matter how hard the winds blew, rain, snow, sleet, tornado, my grandpa was straight edge, cool as a cucumber, ice water in his veins, no fear whatsoever. And I'm like, dude, you ain't scared. I'm about to nuzzle up against you because you got my back, right? I mean, this dude was just, you know, and still is, he's my hero. Now, check this out. Now, this is important, y'all. I had to learn to be comforted by Pawpaw because no matter what, the storm still came. Now, I'm in my room, storm came, I was scared like crazy, and when I go and crawl into my grandpa's room and nuzzle up against him, the storms didn't cease. I was just with my papa. Y'all see where I'm going? Y'all know what I'm about to say. Y'all smell it when I'm stepping in real quick? All right, now, since the storms were still present, I had to learn to be comforted by Pawpaw. The presence of Pawpaw does not mean the ceasing of the storm. Uh-oh. Look at verse 35, men and women. It says, he, that's Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." Now, if God is all-knowing, which he is, then he knew that the storms were going to happen. I don't know about y'all, but many times I have a problem with that right there. You mean to tell me it was God's idea to get his disciples in the boat, knowing that the forecast is saying death? Hey, come in the boat. By the way, you know, I took some NyQuil. I'm about to be in the back of the boat, knocked out, and y'all going to freak out by the storm. Jesus knew that that was going to happen. And he still said, come with me, let's go over there to the storm. Uh-oh. So that tells me it was designed by God himself for his children to go through storms. That's a hard pill to swallow, church. The disciples did exactly what they're supposed to be doing. They followed God's directions. And so think about this. If they are following God's directions, it means that they are in the perfect will of God. How can you tell you're in the perfect will of God? You're doing what he's saying. God says, don't do this, you don't do it, you're in the will of God. God says, do this, and you do it, you're in the will of God. I think a lot of the times we want to complicate the will of God. Look, if he say do it and you do it, you in the will. If he say don't do it, you don't do it, you're in the perfect will of God. Am I making sense? They are in the perfect will of God and they're following him, yet the storm still happened, which means that God designed it. So what does that have to do with you, church? Maybe that financial strain that you're experiencing right now, maybe that bout of sickness that you're dealing with, maybe that emotional struggle that you're facing, maybe that unfair treatment you're experiencing by that dude or that lady, Maybe that knuckleheaded kid that is the bane of your existence is getting on your last reserve nerves is designed by God so you all together can go through that storm. And check this out. If God designed you to go through the storm, and this word says all things work for our benefit, right? That means that while you're going through the storm, it is for his purposes to work out on your behalf. So why do we neglect the storms when God has said, I've designed that so you and I could be closer together? I know. Thank you for the amen. Maybe God designed that storm so you can go through it. And he personally designed that storm just for you. Often we believe that if we're in God's, and think about it, we're like, have y'all ever, I mean, like you're on an emotional high. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, right? Some of y'all, that happens with me, very few and far between. But sometimes whenever I am walking with the Lord, man, I'm firing all cylinders. I'm treating my wife like I'm supposed to be doing. I'm diving in my word. I'm love serving and encouraging other people. I am like, come on, God, me and you are close. Let's go. And the storm happened. And I'm like, God, when we doing good here, like real quick, like where did I mess up? We was good. Why did the storm happen? You see, church, oftentimes we think that if we're in the perfect will of God, then the storms won't happen. But check this out. John 16:33, what does it say? In this world, you will have tribulation. In this world, you will have storms. In this world, you will have problems. In this world, you would have trials. But I have overcome the world, dummy. That's how he talks to me. So hear this. God says the storms will happen in your life. God is not there to cease the storm. God is there to prevent you from being overcome by the storm. It's different. Here's my first point, church. Being in God's will doesn't prevent the storms. It prevents you from being overcome by the storms. Let's move forward. Starting in verse 37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep, not just asleep. I think it's funny. He was like, not only was Jesus asleep, he was asleep comfortably. He and his lazy boy, mouth open, slobbing during the storm. Then they awoke him and said, teacher, do you not care? Your mouth is open, sleep. Do you not care that we are perishing? Then what did Jesus do in verse 39? And he woke up, rebuked the wind, and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Let me pause here for a brief second, y'all. The disciples were certain that they were going to die, only to find Jesus count Z's in the back of the boat. And after that, they say, hey, God, do you even care? Do you even care what's going on in our current situation right now? Now, church, I don't know about y'all, but at least for me, that is a very real and relevant question. Whenever I'm going through something, especially if it's prolonged, I'm like, okay, God, like you see that this oven is turned up on my life. Do you even care? And oftentimes I kind of get in bad theology and I start thinking like, oh, well, maybe this is too minor for God, you know? And then I kind of rationalize it in my mind and like, well, and I know we all guilty of doing this. Well, I know I'm struggling with this little thing, but, you know, somebody's really dealing with a, you know, really bad thing with sickness or death or homelessness. And we kind of think like, oh, yeah, so God, mine's small fry, so don't worry about me. You obviously got them. But that small little voice is, you know, we're thinking like, because he really don't care because he's dealing with other big fish. That is not how God operates. You think your situation is too small for you to go look the other way? What kind of daddy do you think that is? Oh, no, he cares, church. During a storm, in your life, have you ever wondered if God even cares? Is God even listening? Does it anger God that a certain person is doing something to hurt his children? Is God concerned what's going on with you right now? Pay attention to this, verse 39. This is really cool. It says that after that, they cried out to him, and he woke up. Now, think about the messed up way they called out to him. They didn't say, hey, God, sorry to bother you. I know your mouth open sleep right now, but we're about to die. So whenever you get a chance, can you just wake up, stretch a little bit? I got some water there for you, or it's plenty in the boat right now. And so you can just wake up, kind of handle this situation. I would really appreciate that. All right? So, all right, God. Now, they bust through the goat. Do you even care, dude, that we about to die? Jesus woke up. He didn't say, you think you talking to like that? Like, I am the author and the finisher of your faith. Like, I am the creator of the world. You better come to me correct. You know what? It doesn't matter how big my need was. Like, if I came to my mama, I better come with respect. Maggie, that girl's been a little lippy lately. And she needs some. Hey, I need some. Like, hey, you need to watch your mouth. God didn't do that. They approached God. Of course God cared for them. Of course he loved, of course. And they knew that. But they were so focused on their outside situation. I mean, they freaked out. And you know what God did anyway? He woke up and he changed their situation. What did they do that was correct? Many times whenever I read this scripture, whenever I read this passage, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, the disciples got it wrong. They got this part right. What they did was cried out to God. They cried out to him. And Jesus didn't point out the fact, yo, you came to me wrong. He was like, my children need me. And so let me come to their rescue. Peace be still. Storm ceased. Imagine if Jesus was not in the boat. I guarantee you, those men, women, whoever's in that boat, be dead. Period. But they cried out to Jesus. Church, how many times have we first cried out to our friends or our family to fix the storm that we're in? How many times have we tried to remedy our problems, our storms, on our own strength, on our own intellect? We rely on our own money, or we rely on sex or drugs or alcohol. Hear this, church. Many times we try to wake up the wrong things during our storm. My question to you, New Beginnings, who is in your boat? Who's in your boat? Who are you trying to wake up? Because if it's anything else, if it's anybody else except Jesus, it will fail and you would drown. I'm not saying that God doesn't give you friends and family to help you through the storm. My wife, my best friend, and I love this girl to death. But she ain't nothing like Jesus. And I call on him. And maybe God will send my friends or my family. Who's in your boat, church? This is my next point. If you want God to calm the storm in your life, then you must cry out to him and to him alone. Then, now hear this. Then I believe God would do one of two things. One, he would say, peace be still. He would end the storm in your life. Or two, he would give you that strength. He would give you that understanding, that perspective. He would give you a sense of peace during the storm. Again, God would either end the storm entirely or give you the strength to muster through the storm. Amen? Y'all still smelling? Y'all still smelling. Good night. Are y'all still staying with me? All right then. Moving ahead, after he calmed the storm, Jesus said in verse 40, he said this, why are you so afraid? have you still no faith? Now pay a close attention here. Verse 41 says, and they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let me make a really, really quick point here. When the storm came, they were afraid of what? The storm. And then after Jesus demonstrated his power, that was like, you know what? We was kind of scared of the wrong thing here. Jesus rebuked them from being afraid of the storm. He didn't say nothing about they were filled with great fear with him. That's important to note. You see, the storm is the wrong thing to fear. I believe that fear will produce reverence. And many times we want to show reverence to a storm that we think that's going to crush us. And ever we feed into that fear, we become feared and we become afraid of that. And we think like this is bigger than you, or this is even bigger than God. And God's like, no. You fear me. Anybody ever seen a movie, Major Payne? Love that movie, right? One day I'm going to dress up as Major Payne for Halloween. And Major Payne, like at the very beginning of the movie, it was a guy. He was shot in the leg, and he's screaming out, oh, I got shot. And y'all remember? You know where I'm going with this, Jason. And Major Payne went up to that, and he was like, hey, you want me to show you a trick to get your pain off that? Get your mind off that pain. Like, yeah, dude, what's up? He took his finger and he's broken. Guy's like, my finger. And he was like, yep, work every time. I think that's kind of what's going on here. Like, they were crying like, my storm, the storm, the storm. They saw, I was like, oh, no, Jesus, Jesus. Church, how often do we fear the storm instead of the Savior? Don't give a trial in your life the fear that God deserves. What's so important about fear? Look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Short point here, y'all. My next point is fear the Father, not the storm. Let me go ahead and wrap up here. After Jesus calmed the storm, he said to his disciples, why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Have you still no faith? You know, we all, now hear this, church. Now, this is important. We all can draw the conclusion that Jesus is calling out his disciples for having little faith because they were afraid of the storm while Jesus was with them. Does that make sense? It's really easy for us to think like, oh, wait a minute. Jesus is calling out them because Jesus is with them in the boat. And Jesus is all, like, Jesus is God. And so Jesus is like, why do you have no faith? Do you know that I'm here? And I think that's true. That's okay to draw that conclusion. But that's only half of it. That's only the half of the truth that we have to understand. Hear this. During the violent storms, again, Paw, always cool. And then most storms, now think, and my Paw was a crazy dude, and I do the exact same thing. And during the most storms, what he would do was go out underneath the carport with a lawn chair and a drink and watch the storm happen. And hear me, deathly afraid of him, nuzzled right up against Paw, watching the storm happen. Happened almost every time. Almost every time. I'm 34 years old, and I finally get now why he was so courageous during the storms. You see, that carport that Paw standing under during the storms, he built that carport. That house that I was fearing of, I mean, that very same house we were inside during the storm, Paw built that house. Every nook, every cranny, every floor, every ceiling, every wall, Paw built with his own hands. And Paw was confident of what he built. He knew that there was not a storm in his mind strong enough to destroy what he built. So whenever the storms came, he was unbothered because he knew what he built. He knew what he built. Come on, somebody. Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Because not only was Jesus confident in his power, he was like, wait a minute. These people that are standing in the boat, they are fearfully and wonderfully made by me, my hands. I built them. Jesus said, like, wait a minute. The people that's in their boat, like, I made them, like, in their mother's womb. I, myself, knitted them together. In their mother's womb. These people that's in the boat with me, they are made in my image. I'm their creator. And God don't make junk. Men and women, God built every last person inside of that boat to withstand the storm. So when Jesus said to them, why do you have little faith? Not only was he talking about himself, but he was like, why don't you have enough faith in yourself? Do you have any idea how strong you are? Sometimes, men and women, we forget that. You forget how much you can lift. Do you imagine? Do you forget how much you can withstand? Do you forget what you can do? There is not a demon in hell, an enemy on earth, a storm strong enough to knock you down. So snap out of it, stick out your chest, and walk in the confidence and boldness of what God gave you. You know how precious and amazing that you are. You know how strong you are. You know how incredible you are. Sometimes we let the storm just knock us down. As if you... I know I'm talking to somebody here. When the storm happened, Papa was like, I'm about to go check this thing out. And he met the storm head on. That crazy old man. When the storm happens, y'all stand up to that bad boy. They're like, all right, come on. I'm built for this. You know, it says in Proverbs that a brother or sister is born for adversity. Because when that storm happens and you won't get overcome by it, which you won't if you have Jesus, you're going to be that much stronger. Whenever you was little, you probably got scared of about 5 mile per hour winds. Then you got older, you were like, come on 20. When you get older, come on 40. And you up, you were like, come on 50. You come up, you're like, come on tornado. Come on, hurricane. Come on, whatever's stronger than a hurricane. You get what I'm saying, men and women. Everybody stand up with me real quick. New Beginnings Fellowship, can you do me a favor? Just look around real quick. If it's your first time, I know it's going to be really awkward, but I probably won't see you again, but so do it anyway. These men and women right here are with you through the storm. One of you, if you have Jesus, one of you can't be overcome by the storm. But can you imagine with a strong community how strong you are? Maybe you need to be reminded today how incredibly strong and powerful and beautiful and resilient you are. Or maybe you're here and you gotta be reminded how strong and powerful and beautiful and resilient God is, and he is with you. If the storm can't knock God and God is with you, storm can't knock you. So what I need you to do, men and women, is to shoulder that bad boy, lean into it, follow God, and he'll bring you out on the other side of that storm. But let's just say he prolongs that storm for some reason. Let's say the storm that you may have to face for a really long time, or maybe that storm is going to have to be until you die. His word says he would never leave you, ever leave you. You're strong, New Beginnings Fellowship. So let's act like it, amen? Let me pray for us. Father, thank you, God, so much that you're here with us during the storm. We pray, Father, that we would never, ever forget it. You are incredible, Father. I think it's incredible, Father, that during the storms in our life, you on the cushion, and you like, man, hey, you care, Father. You care. Thank you for that, God. We pray that we would just remember that you got us. It's that simple. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 I don't know. I forgot the format. Are we worshiping or are we leaving right now, Josh? Let's worship. How about that? Let's worship real quick. Do you got something? I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Let's worship together, man. All right.